You know, I love singing that song, and it's in particular, it's of particular interest as we wrap up this year, because I believe we've witnessed God do some amazing things in our midst in 24, correct? I love that song. You're good, and I've witnessed it. Have you witnessed God being good this year? You're strong, and I've witnessed it. Have you witnessed the strength of God at some point in your life this year? You're constant. He's always constant. Have you witnessed his constancy? Is he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You love, and I've witnessed it. You heal, you save, and I've witnessed it. We've had 124 baptisms in this calendar year. That's incredible. God is moving, and I hope you haven't missed it. And if you have, I can't wait to see what he does next year. I can't wait. You know, every morning when I come here on a Sunday in particular, I'm just giddy, ready for what God's going to do. And I hope you've walked into this place expectant for what he's going to do this morning. For the children in the room, where are the kids? It's a family weekend. Where are all the kids? Say something. Come on, that's awful. Where are the kids today? All right, they're around the room. I want to give you all permission. I know at the I know in the lodge or in student ministry, you're a little freer. You can be yourself today, okay? I'm giving you permission right up front. You know, so I hope that you encourage the rest of us with your youthful enthusiasm. I'll just say it that way, because as we enter into this new year, we've got a lot to be ready for. So for everybody in the room, though, raise your hand if you've ever been on a road trip where you've gone anywhere. Come on, raise your hands. Anyone, young or old, many of us have been on road trips. How many of those road trips have gone well? Keep your hand up. Oh, some of you, that's great. How many were they an utter disaster? Any of those folks? Yeah, there's both. I know. Either way, kids, on your whiteboards, I want you to draw a picture of where you've gone on a road trip. Okay, so it can be wherever you've been, whatever you've done. I want you to draw a picture of where you've been on a specific road trip. And in a minute, I'll come and I'll ask some of you to show your drawings to all of us, okay? But as we jump into the scripture today, we're going to be looking at Luke 2. Now, Luke 2 is very interesting, the latter parts of Luke 2, because we get a window into Jesus' life as a 12-year-old. Now, as you study scripture, and if you've been in the Word any length of time, you know the gospel writer spends some time on the birth narrative, what we just celebrated at Christmas. And then from Jesus' baptism on, we get all kinds of information. But in his formative years, this is all we have. And we thought it appropriate, as we just finished talking about Jesus being born, that we come back to what did he do as a 12-year-old? Raise your hand. Where are my 12-year-olds in the room? Are there any 12-year-olds? Are there any who are 12 at heart? And you, right? There's lots of those. Okay. But Jesus went on road trips. From an early stage in his life, throughout the entirety of his life, he went on road trips to festivals that were held in Jerusalem. And the festival we're going to see that he traveled to today as a 12-year-old is called the Passover. And the Passover just wasn't Jesus and Mary and Joseph going. It was the whole community. All people went to Jerusalem. All of Israel gathered for this feast because it was a celebration that the people were set free from the bondage of slavery. And God commanded it. And there were three such festivals throughout the year. This was a big deal that everybody gathered together. Now, for those of you who have drawn where you've been on a road trip, hold it up if you're ready, and I'll walk around and see if I can see a few of them. Just hold up your boards. Oh, Tubing. Huh? Sorry. South Carolina, that's not at all Tubing. All right, South Carolina. Do you love South? So South Carolina is a good one. Where have you been, buddy? Florida. Where do you like to go in Florida? Anywhere? Anywhere where it's warm, the beach. Did you have something too? Are you ready? No? Who else? What's Splash Lagoon? Penelope, I'm sure you love Splash Lagoon, but Aaron, how do you feel about it? You love it. In an hour. Wow. Hope you don't get the creeping crud. I feel like those places are cesspools for germs. I know. I shouldn't hold your opinions to yourself. We used to go to the one in Canada. What's it called? Great Wolf Lodge. Glad it's in Canada. No, they're fine. Sorry. You're getting unplugged, Paul, today. But Jesus went on road trips with his family. The whole nation did. And to go from Nazareth to Jerusalem was a 90-mile trek that usually took about 4 days. They were celebrating the freedom of the people of Israel from the grasp of Egypt. It was a celebration of freedom. It was a joyous time where they remembered all the things that God had done. So to prepare us for our road trip today, I hope you grabbed, kids, your snack, because on any road trip, you need a snack, right? What good is a road trip without snack? And then hopefully you grabbed one of these snakes, too. Anyway, if you could straighten it out, this will be your task. If it's all folded up, make it straight, because you'll need it like this in a little while. But you've grabbed your whiteboards, and we're going to have some fun as you're in here with us today. As we read the story, you need to recognize, and the scripture will tell us, that we're looking in and zeroing in when Jesus was 12 years old, on the way home from Jerusalem, when something went terribly wrong. Anybody have something go wrong on a road trip before? This was terribly wrong, and you'll see what I mean in a minute. But as I read the scripture, I'm going to need some help, some audio, some help from all of you. Everybody gasp for me. There will be a time when I read the scripture, well, it'll say on the slide, gasp, and I need all of you to gasp. So let's do it again. Okay, so you've got your gasp done. And the second is sort of this call to suspense. You've heard dun, dun, dun. All right, I need everyone to do that. Ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, great. This is going to be awesome. So as I read the scripture, you'll see on the screens that you need to do those things. And when we get to that part, let's do it together. So we're picking up in Luke 2, verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and they were unaware of it. Great. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Dun, dun, dun! You guys are wonderful. Parents, have you ever lost track of your kids? It is one of the worst feelings you could ever have as a parent. Your child, whether it be somewhere busy or they're out in the yard playing with friends, whatever the case may be, and you lose sight or awareness of what they are. As parents, we get anxious. It can be terrifying. I'm sure Mary looked at Joseph and said, oh, great, we lost the Son of God. And then she probably looked at Joseph and said, Joseph, you had one job. But when they realized that Jesus was missing, I think this is the first instance of Home Alone ever where all of a sudden they were missing their son, their child. And when you're missing somebody, it causes all this anxiety. How in the world did this happen? Well, before you get too hard on Mary and Joseph, we have to understand how they were traveling. They were traveling in a whole caravan with family and friends and neighbors and people from their community. There were likely hundreds of them traveling together. Now, I know when we've been on a road trip as a family, sometimes one of the kids says, can I ride with so-and-so, and can I ride with so-and-so? And you don't even know where your own kids are. Have you ever been there? No. How many of you ever been left behind somewhere? Wow. So you know what that side of it's like. But Mary and Joseph, don't be too hard on them, because they probably thought that Jesus was with one of their siblings or somebody in the community, but he was 12 years old. And they probably thought, he'll be fine. Don't worry about it. We've got other kids to worry about. We've got other things going on. Jesus is 12. He'll be fine. After all, he is God's son. But then they found out he was missing. Anxiety. He's all alone in a large city. And I bet for Mary and Joseph, it was a torturous journey back because they'd already traveled a day. Now they're traveling a day back. So already 2 days by the time they get to Jerusalem of Jesus missing. So let's pick up the story in verse 46. But I have another sound effect I need to add to our repertoire. This one is phew. Like when you, relief, do the phew with me. Come on. All right. Practice the gasp again. And then, you know that obnoxious sound people make when someone else gets in trouble? Oh, do that one with me. Oh. All right, you're all set. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Phew. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Oh. Now, when Mary and Joseph found Jesus, what do you think she wanted to say? You know, when our kids have been lost or misplaced at different times, you want to hug them and make sure they're okay and yell at them at the same time, right? It's this mixture, I'm so glad I found you, now I'm going to kill you. We all know that that's true. So in that moment, Mary had that going on. She found Jesus, but she's in the temple, and he's teaching and responding to all the religious leaders. So it's not just she found him in a crowd. She found him at the feet of the religious leaders of the whole community, and they were amazed at what he was saying. A very interesting setting. As we continue in verse 49, Jesus replies, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and favor with man. Jesus' answer is very perplexing. "It's been 4 days, Jesus. Of course your parents are looking for you. They're worried to death." Now his response is always interesting. "Why are you looking? I was in my Father's house." You see, at the age of 12, Jesus already understood about his heavenly Father and that his heavenly Father was the one he was to be with. In the temple resided the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, at the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence resided, and Jesus wanted to be as close as possible to his heavenly Father. So when he says, "I was in my Father's house," that's what he was referring to. Not Joseph's house. Joseph was essentially not his biological father, but more of a stepfather. But Jesus was saying, "What are you looking for me? You knew I would be in my Father's house." And this is all we know about Jesus' childhood. And only Luke includes it in his gospel. It's the only picture we get from Jesus being an infant to when he begins his public ministry. This is the only view we have. So what do we learn from this and how does it apply to our lives? The first thing that's important is Jesus was once a kid. Every kid in the room, every 20-something in the room, Jesus was once your age. He understands your world. He understands the joys, the struggles, how hard it is, how fun it is, how scary it can be. He understands because he lived it himself. Now, if you have a whiteboard, draw what you think Jesus liked to do as a kid your age. If you could imagine Jesus and all of who he was, what did he like to do when he was your age? And we'll get back to that in a moment. But we see in this scripture where Jesus is becoming more independent. He understands his mission and his identity. As a 12-year-old, he understands what he's supposed to do in the world. He understands that he's God's son, and I dare to say he understood his mission. I wish when I was that age, or even in my 20s, maybe even in my 30s, I understood what that was to be for me. But Jesus knew intimately what that was. In some ways, he was like ordinary 12-year-old, but in some ways, he was very extraordinary. It was ordinary for 12-year-old boys to be in the temple learning. It was extraordinary for them to be amazed by one of those 12-year-old boys at his understanding and the things he was saying. We learn that Jesus was wise beyond his years. Wise beyond his years. Jesus understood things about God that people just didn't know, and maybe they never would. He was wise beyond his years. But also, Jesus was incredibly humble. He was a kid, he was wise, and he was humble. When Mary came to him and asked, "Where have you been?" he could have said, "Well, you left me here." He didn't give her any attitude, as far as the scripture tells us. He said, "Okay, I'm in my Father's house, but I will go with you." He understood his place in the world. He was very humble. He could have put Mary in her place at that moment. And his comments were astonishing to Mary. When our kids have done things, we have memory boxes. We put remembering, you know, different things from their lives in their memory boxes, and they have various trinkets or things or documents throughout their lives. But it says Mary treasured these things in her heart. She remembered this. She pondered it because I don't think she fully understood it. But Jesus was so humble. He didn't put her in her place. He just lived his life. It was extraordinary that Jesus survived for 4 days in Jerusalem, but he was in his Father's house going about his Father's business. And we also see that Jesus was obedient, both to his heavenly Father and to Mary and Joseph. When you put those four together, when we see that Jesus was once a kid, he was wise, he was humble, and he was obedient, we start to get a picture, a very good picture of who he is. So what does this mean for us, though? So what if Jesus was those four things? What does it mean for us today? I believe one of the most important parts of this entire story was that Mary and Joseph left Jesus behind. They traveled without him. They had a plan. They had people waiting for them, and they left him behind. They didn't even know where he was, and I dare to say, many of us do the same thing. We leave Jesus behind. We forget who he is. We forget that he's supposed to be and wants to be with us, but we get so busy that we don't give him the time that he deserves. Now, hopefully you're asking yourself that same question. Do I give Jesus the time he deserves? Have I left him behind like Mary and Joseph? Please answer that question honestly in your own mind. Do you follow him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or do you think your ways are better? Do you do the things that he has asked you to do, or do you not? I think it's a really important question. I think it's a really important question for all of us to ask ourselves. Do we essentially allow Jesus to be with us all the time, or do we leave him behind? Now, as you think about that, I want anyone with a whiteboard who is drawing what Jesus liked to do as a kid, I want you to show me your drawing. So what do we have? Church. That's a great answer. Jesus probably liked going to church. What do you have, Penelope? Playing in the snow. Do you think Jesus would have loved to play in the snow if there was snow? I can't see it.
Teaching.
He loved teaching. Anybody else? What is that?
A donkey.
He rode his donkey. Okay. Anybody else? What is it? He read the Torah. I'm sure he read the Torah. Of course he did. One more. What do you? Jesus gymnastics. I bet he could do a backflip like nobody else. What? Oh, I get called out by my wife. I have to go. Praise God. I bet he did praise God. Give me some knuckles. Bam. Good job. When your wife says, look at this board, you go over and you look at that board. Mary and Joseph left Jesus behind, and I think sometimes we have the same ideas. We think our plans are better. We think our desires for our life go beyond what God might have for us, and we live our lives separate from where he would have us go. And if our life is supposed to be, and again, this isn't a great illustration, it'll break down, you'll see what I mean, but if our life is supposed to lead directly, straight path that God might have for us, often we kink the journey and we end up heading in a totally wrong and different direction than was ever intended for us. Anybody relate to that? Where you've been trying to follow God, but you know you've done it your way, and your life ends up in a knotted mess. This is what's important to learn. Jesus has never left you. You have just ignored maybe that he's there. Jesus wants to walk with you every day of your life and be with you in the caravan of life heading to where he plans for you to go. But do you allow him to go with you? Do you ignore or embrace? Our human nature wants to wander off the path that God has for us, to do it our way, to blame him. But we are called to pursue him with all of our hearts, to pursue the God that created us. As we read the scripture, as we pray, as we engage in worship, and we pursue him with all of who we are. But sometimes in our world, we stop pursuing him with that ferocity. We get going in our own direction and we leave. We ignore that he's even there. So, kids, if you kinked your snake, make it straight again. As we finish this year, we're going to do something that we did a couple years ago that John Wesley started himself back in his time, called a covenant renewal prayer. You see, Jesus was once a kid and he understands us. We think the things we've experienced in life, he doesn't, but he does. Jesus is wise, so we can trust him. Jesus is humble and he invites us to follow him. And he's obedient and he models obedience for us. And as we end this year and we move into the year to come, I want, it's not true. I feel like the Lord was leading me to have a time where we renew our commitments and our covenants to follow him. Where we say, God, I understand that maybe I've wandered off the path, that I've done things my own way, but I want to line up with you and your purposes for my life. And what better time to do that as we head into a new year this week? That maybe you don't make a New Year's resolution, maybe you do, I'm not saying do or don't, but you do commit to following God every day in a more intimate and special and heartfelt way. Like I started to say, John Wesley began these covenant renewal services that were done on the last Sunday of the year for forever when he was alive and times following, and many churches still do them today. And we're just going to take a part of that, the covenant renewal prayer, and we're going to recite, it'll be on the screens, we're going to read this prayer together as our prayer to end this portion of our time. Kids, I'd encourage you to say it right along with your mom and dad when you see it on the screens. Because I think as a body, as we commit to following God with all of who we are, that we'll see him do incredible things in the year to come. As we understand that he's wise, humble, and obedient, and as we learn from him, this could be the best year we've ever had as a church. So could you all stand, please? The prayer is already on the screens. I'm not saying you have to, but if you feel the Lord is calling you to say these words, let's pray them together. Heavenly Father, I come before you today, acknowledging my need for your grace and forgiveness. I choose to renew my commitment to you, to follow your path, and to live according to your will. I surrender my own desires and ambitions, as if you guide my steps and empower me to be your faithful servant in every aspect of my life. I renounce any sin that separates me from you and choose to live in your love and truth. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I may reflect your light to the world.